The Sniffer.
Hey, Kat.
Hi, Nora.
How are you doing? I'm not looking at your pant legs.
No, you're looking at the side of my shirt. I can show you my left breast. Oh, dear.
It's good to see your face, even if it's behind a screen.
Yes. But good to see yours, too. So, how are you doing?
Pretty good. You know, obviously, there, especially here in Ontario, where you and I live, there's a lot of very scary, actually just health medical news about the pandemic. But I think on the sort of more back burner side, I think I can speak safely for most people that I am getting quite weird. I am becoming quite a weirdo. Do you feel like you're becoming a weirdo?
Fuck off! Yeah, although I think I would be a lot weirder if I didn't live in an apartment complex. I think if I lived in a house, I think if I'd been up at the farm for the last year and growing my toenails and my hair, I've been growing my hair, but not my toenails. I think I would be weirder if I hadn't had any contact with people at all.
Yeah. You mean because you have social interaction in the halls or whatever?
Yeah. Your story is right in keeping with this topic.
So yeah, this relates to this idea that we're all getting a little bit weird. It was an article in The Guardian. It's actually really well worth reading by a guy named Rick Samader. And it's basically about what you could call the lost art of small talk. So he makes the point that we're all kind of socially isolated now. Like even if you're going out to work, you're not really socializing, right? He reports things like losing his train of thought and speaking is tiring, which I definitely find is true. We're losing the ability to kind of read body language because we're just looking at these screen images all the time. So he kind of speculates a few different things about this, like specifically around not so much the in-depth personal conversations, which I think we actually are still doing like over Zoom or whatever, but about just the casual banter and chat that we used to do so much because of this level of isolation. And the thing that really struck me about the piece is he talks to one person who basically speculates that this is just accelerating what was happening to us already because so many of us are getting used to asynchronous communication, especially a whole generation now growing up that's used to messaging and using emoji or whatever, rather than talking to each other at the same time with our human voices, as my colleague Michelle Parisi would say. But you say exactly?
I have to say, I have not lost that ability because I still do it with people. Even though I'm very safe and I've been vaccinated and everything else, I do go out. I have to, or I would have been off the balcony. I think there's, you know, everybody has their own point that they can handle in terms of not having any other human interaction. But yeah, it's strange though. I noticed that I'm a little bit snippier than I used to be. And I won't stand around and talk for quite as long as I used to. But it's, if you have a dog, you're always going to have people to talk to because there's dog parks. So you go in there. And but it is interesting the things that you talk about though. We never talk about the weather. We talk about the dogs or we talk about the pandemic or Bitcoin. I learned how Bitcoin works that way. Oh, and also how to live on a boat all year round. I learned that last weekend. But yeah, no, I enjoy that. Are you a big small talker?
Not really, I wouldn't say. But I like that idea of I'm not really a small talker with sort of people that are acquaintances or people that I just met so much, but I love that feeling of just the relaxed hanging out with people that I know and feel really comfortable with, you know, that way that you can just, you're just chilling together and, you know, there's no sort of social pressure. But I find like over Zoom now, when we have those conversations, it's like, first of all, there's this giant elephant in the room of the pandemic. So it's like, it's hard to think of things to talk about because A, we're not doing anything, but B, it is this elephant in the room. And that's pretty rare that there are exceptions to that. And I find that pretty draining. We did have a conversation with our friend Kate and my sister and Kate's husband. And Kate is a hilarious person and very into like banter and wisecracking. And that was like the first time in a while that I've had that type of experience where it just felt light and uplifting and easy to have that conversation.
That sounds nice. I have it with Diana when we watch movies, and mm-hmm. which is a friend of mine. And it's just, shut up or I'll smack you in the chopper. We are redoing 30 and 40 screwball comedy.
Nice.
Singers. But yeah, I don't know what it's going to be like when we all are back and out there together, teaming around. I think it's going to be kind of tentative for a while, at least at first.
Yeah, kind of, and like I do think that's on to something, that there's something about in-person conversation or even talking over the phone that once you get used to the asynchronous stuff, even though it can often be like very fast back and forth, like a screwball comedy, you know, when you're on WhatsApp with somebody, I think it can be hard to get back into that groove because, as they say, like so much is about tone of voice and body language and all that kind of stuff. I think that he's really on to something with that aspect yeah. of the impact, not just of the pandemic, but of our technologies.
Well, I think that they're on to something with treatment on depression. Would you like to hear about it?
I would.
Nora Louise? Okay. Well, I've been hearing about this for the last 7 years, maybe 7 or 8 years. But it's the whole idea is to treat moderate to serious depression rather than with antidepressants using psilocybin, which is like magic mushrooms. Mm-hmm. What they found is, like, I'd heard, because a guy I know in the complex here actually does these sessions with people, and they take you on an acid trip in a controlled environment, and they look back to try and, when you're really stoned, whatever they call that in the clinical parlance, and then they try and break through whatever trauma you may have gone through that has put you through that. But what's interesting is that the antidepressant that they use is one that I take. So I was particularly, it's called Lexapro or escitalopram. Well, they had a control group, but they also had a group that was getting the psychedelic therapy, and then they had a group that was getting the placebo, and then they have a group that was getting the psilocybin. At the end of the trials, it looked like there were improvements after 6 weeks in both of the control groups, but marginally better with the psilocybin. And this is what I quote directly from the article here. However, as is with most things, the devil is in the detail. And this Robert Carhart Harris, he was the lead researcher on that particular project. He says that it suggested a number of secondary outcomes point that psilocybin treatment demonstrates significantly greater efficacy than escitalopram or the Lexapro. As somebody who had a depressive episode a few years back, like, I don't think these pills are really doing any good anymore. Hmm. Well, maybe they are, you know, but I don't. Blues aren't bluer, yellows aren't yellower. I've been curious about this. I won't take acid again for anything, but if it really is proven that if you do it in a therapeutic setting, I would consider trying it.
Yeah, this was whatever the active ingredient in magic mushrooms is that they tried it with. And it was interesting because they were very clear about, they don't just like basically hand you shrooms and say, okay, go off and, you know, have at it. They do it in this very therapeutic context. And for both the SSRI antidepressants, for both those yeah. and the mushrooms, they combined it with psychotherapy. So there was like a talk therapy component to both of them. But it does seem like there's a lot, and they allude to this in the article, there's a lot more interest in this. Like, there was that Michael Pollan book that came out a while ago about How to Change Your Mind, which was about the use of psychoactive drugs. And of course, like, that's the origin, right? I mean, before the whole crackdown on psychedelics, like, that was the original idea of psychedelics, and even like MDMA were meant to be used in like a therapeutic context.
Oh, right? That's good stuff. Have you ever done MDA?
No, I haven't.
I did it when I was 15. I got lost in the suburbs right near my house because all the houses looked the same. They all looked the same. And I sat down in the road and went, oh, my, and laughed and, you know, waited for my traumatic experience to emerge, which didn't.
Right.
But they do say, though, they say that this, if you do this, it can work extremely quick. Whereas usually if you're with if you've got depression, you've just kind of got it and you have to sort of, mm-hmm. Keep a good eye on it, keep tabs on yourself. But it did say that the most important part, though, was the talk therapy. But now in Canada, well, I won't speak to Canada, but I can speak to Ontario. They are fully invested in antidepressants and chucking people full of antidepressants rather than talk therapy because of the cost.
Mm. Right.
Even if you have the money, you can't find a good psychiatrist.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I guess they are effective for some people, but it doesn't really seem like there's really a one-size-fits-all type of solution. But the other thing I was thinking of
Beer!
I was reading the background article. Beer, yes. When I was reading the background article is just our friend mushrooms, eh? Like, they're so incredible. Like, just in general, I mean, remember we did that story about using it as like a substitute for leather, the mycelium.
Oh, yeah.
Like the sort of substrate that the mushrooms are on, and like mushrooms themselves are like kind of a superfood, antioxidants, anti-inflammatory. We did a thing on Spark a while ago about mycelium, like building buildings out of mycelium, like basically growing building. Mushrooms are amazing.
Mushrooms are our friends. In all
mushrooms,
of them.
They're not just for getting high anymore.
Yeah. Oh, I only ever did magic mushrooms once, and I spent 3 hours in my bathtub staring down the drain. Okay, well, I guess that's it, huh?
That is it. And we will talk to you again soon over this depressing video conferencing.
I know. I hate Zooming. I hate it. I hate it. I know you don't hate it as much as I do, but I hate it.
No, I hate it now. I didn't hate it 6 months ago, but now I'm so over it. I definitely have the fatigue for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.